Thank you, Josh. We just came off of a season of giving. Christmas is a season of giving, and most people love giving gifts. Kids love receiving gifts, as well as giving gifts. That's an exciting thing. But you know what? God has given each one of us gifts. As the church, as members of the church, God has given us gifts that he wants us to use in a certain way, in a certain fashion. And are you using those gifts that God has gifted you with? Do you know what those gifts are that God has given to you? What have you been given, and what are you giving? Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, and we'll start reading in verse 3. Romans 12, 3. And obviously we often hear messages or challenges from Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul is beseeching the brethren to give their bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. Those are very familiar verses to us. And the rest of this passage, though, is a challenge and an encouragement to us as believers. And it says in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." These are all gifts that God has given different people within the church, the context of the local church. And we also find in 1 Corinthians 12 many gifts from the Holy Spirit that God has given to different people in the body. And we must make sure in verse 3 here, that our thinking is correct before we get into this passage about the gifts that God has given different people. Paul is cautioning the believers. You know, when we come to life, what is our thought process? You know what? Paul is cautioning the believers not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We must think soberly, Paul challenges us, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We must take what God has given to us in a serious manner. It is very important to God that we take what he has given to us in a serious way. God has gifted you in a particular way to meet the needs of this local church or the local church that you're a member of. This is something that God takes seriously. You know what, the things he gives us isn't to make us look good and wonderful and so amazing. No, this is something that God has given to us to take seriously in our role as a member of our local church. And we see in verse 4 of chapter Romans 12, "For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office." All right, so we see that the church is a body. The church functions, he's comparing it to a body. You know what? In the human body, there are so many organs, so many body parts that are so important and so vital for the functioning of your body. And it's made up of many members. We see that each member, though, is different. All right? My ear is different than my tongue. And it has totally different functions. You know, your fingers function differently than your toes. All right, and each member, it says in the end of that verse, and all members have not the same office. So in the context of the local church, there's many different members. We're not one member. We're many different members. And there are different offices. I mean, when you think of a business or a school, you name it, I mean, there's the administrative offices. There's the financial offices. There are the custodial office. There's, if you're dealing with people or maybe a school or something like that, you have the kitchen. You have all sorts of different offices that are so vital. You have the promotional office, the customer relations office, you name it. Every part is important to the success of a business. And you know what? In the same way, each member of the local church is important to the success of the local church. Notice what brings us all together, what knits us all together as a church. Verse 5, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. You know, the church membership are all saved people, people that have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have been baptized in, have identified themselves with the local church. We are one body in Christ. We have been forgiven. We have been saved by Jesus Christ, and we have identified with the local church. Our unity comes through Jesus Christ. It's not through some other purpose or some other organization. You know what? A company is organized together to make money for the business, to grow the business. Well, we are here as a church, united together in Christ for a specific purpose. What is that purpose? Well, it's the Great Commission, to take the gospel to the ends of the world. That is really the ultimate goal. And you know what? In order to do that, we must function as a body together, even though we're many members. And verse 5 tells us that although we are many members, we are one in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So although we are many different members, we all rely upon one another. At least we should, if we're functioning correctly. We are knit together as one body. Different people function in different ways, and one member isn't more important than the other member. Every member is equally as important as another member. The church, as a body, should be functioning in perfect harmony. When I was at I was at Camp Joy helping for a retreat one weekend, and the floor was mopped in the back of the chapel area. And my friend and I were kind of racing to the back. I had no idea the floor was wet. And my feet slipped out from under me, and I landed on my left elbow very hard. And that one member of my body that was injured affected my whole lifestyle, because it was it wasn't broken, but it was dislocated. And when the chiropractor popped it back into place, that was the most pain I've ever felt in my life. But I mean, you can't get dressed really very easily. I mean, it affects everything. It's like you move one little bit in the wrong way and your whole body just, I don't know, writhes in pain. It's just horrible. You know what? Our body is connected. And when one member is affected, the rest of the membership is affected. We can't always tell. You know, you may not always know, but we are affected in some way. And we need to be functioning in that perfect harmony. And that does happen as we submit to Christ, the one who keeps us all together. So the church is a body. And as we see in verses 6 through 8, we all have different gifts according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether it is prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. We're not necessarily going to talk about each one of these different giftings in the context of the local church, but you can definitely tell when someone has been gifted, maybe to preach or to just they have that gift to be a minister around to other people, or some people are better apt to teach. And verse 8, he that exhorteth to on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You know what? Each person has different ways and avenues that they can use those gifts. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians 12, we'll read a few verses in this passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll begin in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of word, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. God has gifted us in different ways. And my question for you this evening is, how has God gifted you to aid in the functioning of this local church? Whatever God has burdened you to do is important. Whatever God has gifted you to do, it's important. Maybe it's someone that's an encourager to other people. God has gifted you in that way. Are you taking that gift and running with it? Are you taking it seriously? You know what? There's obviously some things aren't a gift, and we're just commanded to do them. But you know what? In a certain way, each one of us can help in the church, local church ministry. To maybe you're one who God has given you that burden to be a help to people. You know, you see people with needs, and you want to just maybe bless them financially, and you want to just be a blessing and meet their needs. Maybe you see someone discouraged, and you want to go over there and exhort them, strengthen them in the Lord. You know, there's people that are, I mean, we all should be ready to do that at any time. But some of us have that ability that God has given. It's not something to make ourselves look good, but it's a part, a necessary part of the body of Christ to be that strength to one another. You know what? You might be one who sees a need, and you might be the one that always sees the piece of paper that someone dropped on the ground. You know, it might seem small, but You might see a need out in the churchyard. You know what? That needs to be fixed. And you go out there. You fix it. You know what? These are things that, yeah, we should all be, in one sense, watching out for. But you know what? God has given each one of us a certain gift, a certain place in the local church body to make a difference for Christ. You know what? Some people make better musicians, all right? Some people are going to be leading singing, whereas some people aren't necessarily going to be behind the pulpit leading the singing for church. It's not like it's a special, that person is more special who's leading singing. But God has given them that opportunity. Then what a blessing that is, that they can lead singing. Whereas another person might be cleaning the church every Saturday. Or another person might be ushering at the door. Maybe they're not going to be sitting here on the church piano ministering to people in music. But, you know, they're going to be at the church door greeting people as they come in. Now, each of those roles in the ministry are very important and are a blessing to people. They all are really reflecting, we need to be reflecting Christ in whatever we do. It could be a lady serving in the nursery with a joyful spirit. Every Sunday, you know what, maybe not every Sunday, but you know what I mean? when they're assigned. But you know what? We ought to be, whatever we're doing, it's all important. And that really kind of goes into my next point. We have, obviously, the church is a body. Every member needs to take their role seriously. But, you know, there's also cautions to us as members. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 21 and 22, we see maybe some cautions to us as members. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. No one is insignificant. You know, you might be here tonight or listening on live stream, and you might say, what do I have to offer? I come here, I sit in a pew, I go home. You know what? God, you have a lot to offer because you're someone that's been saved and redeemed by Jesus Christ. Obviously, if you have been, though everyone who is saved, who has been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, has something to contribute because you have the Holy Spirit living with inside of you. These gifts aren't from you, they're from God. We're all created in the image of God. God has a purpose for your life. And just because you don't think maybe you're needed or you're valued, you know what? God has a specific purpose and plan for your life. No one is insignificant. You know what? Doctors today don't know some of the organs of our body and what their purpose is. They might say they're vestigial organs, organs that don't really matter, but you know what? God knows what that matter is, what they count for. That's an extreme, maybe extreme example. But you know what? Some of those body parts that maybe aren't as glorious, if we're missing them, we will really know it. We'll really sense it. And you know what? The same is true with us as believers. Even if you don't think your role in the local church is necessary, it is. And you know what? When you're missing, or when that gifting isn't being used in the local church, then the whole membership suffers. And everyone is significant. And God has gifted each of you by the power of the Holy Spirit with a very important purpose in the local church. I'm not here tonight, and there's a lot of people that have written books about the different giftings, and if you want to read those, they're a blessing. They can be a blessing to you, a devotional blessing to us. But you know what? That's not my point tonight. But you know what? God has given each of you a purpose and a goal. Maybe you don't know exactly what it is, but I encourage you, the best way to really find out what God has gifted you to do is just get into God's word. God will show you how he can use you. And I feel like the challenge of this next year of getting into God's word every single day, whether it's a chapter a day or reading those 6 or 7 chapters a day, whatever it is, we need to be in God's word, meeting with him every day so that he can show to us how he wants us to function as members. You know, and you know what, you might think, man, I'm not up here on a Sunday playing offertory, or I'm not at the door as an usher, or I'm not able to serve in the nursery. There are plenty of other ways that God can use you. You know what, it's often church ministry doesn't just happen on a Sunday morning. Church ministry happens throughout the whole week. Could be calling up a fellow brother or sister in Christ, being an encouragement. You know what happens when you're going out and reaching out to your neighbor? It's happening whenever you're interacting with other believers. You know, are you imparting the Holy Spirit to them through the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Are you encouraging other believers through your joyful countenance, through your positive attitude, or maybe through an encouragement through the Word of God that you received that week? This is something I'm sure we all can work on. But you know, no one is insignificant. And we, as believers, also need to realize that, you know, every person in the local church is important. You know what? We need to be encouraging every single person. Some people aren't going to be, maybe they need that encouragement. They're not going to be exactly where you are. But you can be the one to encourage that person to go on for Christ, to accomplish their God-given purpose and plan in their life. So no one is insignificant. And as we turn back to Romans chapter 12, I believe Paul is also giving us some cautions here in verse 3, as we already shared, but also in verses 9 through 21. And we may not necessarily talk about each one of these verses, but I believe it'll be helpful to read through them. But as we read in verse 3 and in 9 through 21, I believe that pride and selfishness will kill God's blessing upon our ministry. When we're doing our daily ministry, I find that it can be easy to become selfish in our daily life, to become proud. And as you look through these verses, and as I was reading through the verses, it's like, wow, this is all dealing with selfishness and with me. And because it takes love. It takes selflessness to love. And it takes selflessness to have the correct aspect of your purpose in the church as you're serving God. You know, when you're playing an offertory, you know what, Satan would love if I was playing an offertory, one of you were playing an offertory, like, man, that sounded really good. And then you forget who it's being played to. But verse 3, we'll read it again in Romans chapter 12. For I say, through the grace given unto you, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Keep that in perspective. We're just sinners saved by grace. I often will hear, I think it's Mr. Apple saying something similar to that. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I was talking to someone, actually John Hole. I didn't necessarily plan on know if I was going to say this tonight, but I just was saying, hey, thanks for all the work you do. He would put a ton of work, as well as many other people, into some of the programs up at Falls Baptist. And they had so many hundreds of lost people at their programs, at the Christmas Spectacular concert, which I was able to play at. And I said something like, thank you for all the work you put into this. And if you know Mr. Hole, he's just a humble servant of the Lord. And he said, you know what? Anything to prepare their hearts for the most important thing, which is the preaching, the giving of the gospel. And that's really what we're here for, is to get people to Jesus Christ, to get sinners to whatever we're doing, maybe up here on stage, it's to get our hearts focused on Christ. And obviously the preaching is the most important thing. But whatever we do, whether it's in the sound booth, whether it's in the nursery, you know, the nursery workers are important. I mean, it helps parents to be able to listen, concentrate on the preaching. It eliminates distractions. The sound booth, I mean, it's an important ministry. Right? It's dealing with technology. But that can be used to spread the gospel, how it can be used to assist people in hearing the message of the Word of God. But you know what? It's not about us. It's about what God has placed us here to do. And in verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And this is, I believe, is a very important verse. Let love be without dissimulation. You know, our love towards one another needs to be genuine. It can't be superficial. It needs to be genuine. That comes from Christ. You know, when someone might irritate you a little bit, you know what, that happens. Just show them love. No matter how someone reacts, show them that love, that genuine love. You know what, show Christ that genuine love. Don't be superficial where you just come out to church on Sunday and then the rest of the week, your relationship with Christ doesn't impact your life. Our love for God needs to be genuine, needs to be real. And our love for one another needs to be real. And that word dissimulation, it means basically Don't be a fake. Be real. And so often, as I've worked with some people the last year and year and a half, or 2 years really, I've noticed there, especially with unsaved people, how much contention there can be amongst lost people. And obviously it can happen to Christians too. But when you don't have Christ, you know what, you're competing with one another. It's easy to try to demean other people to make yourself look good and to talk about others behind your back. I guess I've just been taking notice of this as I've worked with lost people. And they'll talk about someone in leadership and in a certain position. They'll say, man, this person is just proud and all they think about is themselves. When really this person is doing exactly what they're saying that person is doing. And they're just talking about them behind their back. But, I mean, face to face, often people will be, oh, you're awesome, you're great. And then behind their back, it's like they bite and devour one another. And it just made me realize what a difference Christ makes. You know, we can forgive. As Christians, we can forgive. And I was talking with someone recently and I said, just forgive them. It was a lost person, so I mean, it might be a little bit hard, but just forgive that person. You know what? Don't hold that grudge in your heart that they have because they did something to you or they're talking about you behind their back and trying to destroy your reputation. Just forgive them. I mean, they're going to have to obviously deal with it, with that themselves, but give it to God. Our love needs to be genuine towards one another. And abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Even as God's people, we need to make sure we take that seriously. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Now in our daily lives, let's work on putting one another first and lifting one another up in our daily lives. Treat everyone with dignity and respect. You know, this is what people need to hear in this world. And they need to see it starting with God's people first. Treating everyone with dignity, with respect. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We need to be busy serving God. And in our daily lives, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. No, we need to take that opportunity to rejoice in the hope that we do have. No, we could look at the darkness of this day, become discouraged. And surely the darkness in Jesus' day affected Jesus. But you know what? You don't see him all the time just be crying the dark day that he was in. Christ gave a lot of hope in his teachings and in his ministry. So we need to make sure that we are rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, keeping that faith in God even through the tough times, realizing God is there, God is good all the time, and continuing instant in prayer. And obviously that's why we're here tonight, for prayer. You know, we need to continue instant in prayer, have that attitude of prayer at all times. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. This obviously takes selflessness, distributing to the necessity of the saints, you know, meeting the needs of the saints, of other people around us. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You know, this is something that we need as Christians for today in the climate that we live in. You know, we need to bless those around us. We ought not curse them. We ought not condemn them. You know, we need to show them the love of Christ and bless them which persecute you. You know, don't hold hard feelings in your heart to these people that are just acting like lost people. Yet we do need to pray for them. We need to show them that love that Christ showed us. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. You know, sometimes it's hard to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Maybe God did something great with them. Maybe God blessed them in a great way financially. Who knows what it is? Maybe they were given a position of leadership in the church or an opportunity to lead something. You know what? we need to have that opportunity to rejoice with them. Wow, praise the Lord, you got that opportunity. You know, there's also those times of weeping, though, and really understanding and having a genuine heart to weep with those who are going through hard times. And that takes really the power of God to be able to rejoice them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. And these are really almost describing gifts that God has given to us that the Holy Spirit can enable us to do. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, this is also takes selflessness and a humble attitude that comes from God to be able to work freely with people and to as much as possible live peaceably with all men. And obviously with Christians, we ought to be living peaceably. There shouldn't be any contention. And even those out in the world, now we shouldn't be picking fights, especially with lost people. We're trying to win them to Christ. We're not going to be able to win them to Christ if we are not seeking to live at peace with them. These are just some cautions that, obviously the last three verses are pretty powerful. We don't have time to read them, but showing the love of Christ to other people, even our enemies. So important. Cautions to the member of Laquanago Baptist Church or to any local church in America. No one is insignificant, and also pride and selfishness will kill God's blessing. Now, I'd imagine if the opposite was true of all these in our life. You know, it wouldn't be a pretty picture. But as we allow God to work these different truths into our life, and as we're focused on others and blessing others with what God has blessed us, I think it'll definitely be a transformational thing. This might seem kind of unusual to bring this up in church, but Jesus used many different illustrations from nature, used the plants, used other things, but something like coffee might seem very insignificant, all right? But you know what? Some people really need coffee, or they just enjoy coffee, and it makes their day go a lot better if they have coffee in the morning. It's not an addiction, it's just something that people enjoy. And you know what, when you bring good coffee to a church fellowship, it makes people a lot happier. It makes things flow a lot smoother. This is some good Colectivo coffee from in town, and it smells really good too. But you know what, when we perform the gift that God has given us, when we are a functioning member of Laquanago Baptist Church and we are meeting the need that God wants us to meet, it makes everything flow together very smoothly. I mean, imagine if we took away the coffee and the food from a church fellowship. Well, it wouldn't really be a church fellowship anymore, all right? Some people, chocolate makes them very happy. And if they get a piece of chocolate, it puts a smile on their face. And in one sense, the gifts God has given us, as we meet the needs of other people, it's like giving them the joy of the Lord. Because they are receiving the Holy Spirit through you. As you, God has given us that gift, and we're giving the gift back to other people. You know, when we're not functioning properly in the church, it's kind of like my hay baler. All right? It could be the smallest little piece on the kick baler that's broken, and it ruins a whole day. Especially when the rain is coming, and you're trying to get all the hay bale, I'm sure Karen Johnson's had that happen before. All right. And one day I was baling hay, and there's this, I don't know if you can see it on live stream or out in the audience, but this is a cotter pin. And it's a double cotter. I don't know what the exact type this one is, but it's a cotter pin. And it has a double, two metal pieces together. It's just one piece that's bent, and so it makes it two pieces. But this goes on the kicking arm of the baler, the lever that the bale hits a lever on the back of the baler. When that lever is triggered, it triggers another piece of another arm, and it releases the hydraulic pressure and it pushes out the, anyway, kicks the bale into the baler. Well, when that's not working, you have to get off the tractor, throw the bale in the wagon, and it creates havoc and mayhem and everything. All right, and that's when you really need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, but it's always one little piece often on a baler that causes things not to function properly. And this one cotter pin can make a baler function or make a baler not function. I was baling hay over at the Kossertz's one day, and the pin broke. And you have to use the right pin. You can't just use a regular one-piece metal pin and slip it through the hole. You have to use a double a cotter pin that has those two pieces to it. And otherwise, it'll just shear the other types of pin. So anyway, I put the other pin in, didn't work. So I got this pin, which is the correct pin. And even though it looks small and it looks like it could break easily, this holds and helps kick thousands of bales into a hay wagon. It saves a lot of time and effort. My point in that is, you know what, as the members of Mequonago Baptist Church, we're like this cotter pin. You know, this does not seem at all significant, but it's very important in the functioning of that piece of equipment. And we as members, every single one of us, well, if you're not a member, you should become a member. Become a member of the local church, all right, and receive God's blessing in that way. But as a member of Mequonago Baptist Church, you might think you're as insignificant as this cotter pin, yet you can have an impact upon the whole functioning of the local church. And it starts with your personal relationship with God and goes from there. So realize every single member is important and is significant. I don't care how young you are, how old you are, God has a specific function and purpose for your life. If you don't know what that is, within the context of the local church, obviously being here is one of the parts of membership. Obviously reading your Bible, look at the church covenant. It's a challenge every time I read that church covenant. But you know, realize that God has a plan and purpose for your life. And if the cotter pin starts to wear down, you know, you need to strengthen it in the Lord so you can be that vibrant, functioning member of a local church. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us as your people to love you first and foremost as we enter this new year. Help us to be in your word and to grow in our love for you more than ever before. And help us to know how to function as members of Mequonago Baptist Church and as the churches that we might be, maybe guests are listening this evening, or people from other churches, Lord. Help us to be functioning members of our church and to give all that you want us to give for the prosperity of your church. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church and you will build it. We pray that you would, Lord, bless the rest of the service and the prayer time to follow. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.